How many years you been doing this, Bishop?
Let's see. I've been studying, actually, for, 15 years.
How many exorcisms have you either participated in by, you know, as the lead exorcist or participated in?
I was a lead exorcist in about 8. I participated in roughly about 12.
Okay, so of the 20 you've been in, mm-hmm. which is one of the worst? Give us that case.
It was a little girl, and she, you know, at the age, a lot of girls like to, for some reason, do witchcraft kind of a thing. I mean, there's a lot of movies out.
Like, yeah, they think it's fun.
Yeah, they think it's fun, and so she got a little bit too involved with it. And so as we walked in, I had 3 other people with me. This was not in Louisville. And I had 3 other people with me who were experienced. And, when we walked in, this was in, October. And as we walked in, it was, the room was just completely ice cold. It was roughly, I would say, in this area, I don't know, maybe 60 degrees outside. And as we walked in, I mean, it's just like the refrigerator just came on. So it was completely opposite of the house. So as we walked in, she was sitting down with her mother. She was begging her mom not to go through this. She didn't want this to happen. And everything was calm, and that was fine. I introduced myself as well as my other assistants introduced, and then it just turned to chaos. She looked at us, started screaming. The voices that we heard on the tape were quite similar. So we have to have permission. It's illegal to strap anyone down without permission, especially an adult. So if performing an exorcism and there's an adult, you have to make sure that there is a will and testament or a power of attorney, and that someone gives you the right to keep someone down. Otherwise, you're breaking the law. Now, a lot of people don't know that, but there are some legal issues you're dealing with here. And so, of course, being a child, the mother allowed us to restrain her, and thankfully so, because she hit one of the priests in his face and completely shattered his glasses. She grabbed the other one by the throat, and so we had to restrain her. I mean, this was a small girl.
And what are you doing at this point? I mean, are you saying, get me out of here? I mean, are you so trained?
No, you say, get me out of here, and you're in trouble.
You are.
Absolutely, because that's a moment of weakness. We know going in that we're not dealing with a little girl. We know going in that we're dealing with some type of demonic force.
See, I've seen some of these Hollywood movies, Bishop, where the priest is in there and he gets so scared he goes running out.
Well, that's the last thing you can do, because if you go running out, the demon is going to follow you. I mean, because you got to understand the whole purpose is to separate us from God. The whole purpose is to destroy our soul. And so if they know that there's an entity who is supposed to be a priest who stands before him and prepare for battle, and the priest runs, that priest is now marked. That priest will see, no doubt, that priest will see shadows. The priest will be reminded on a daily basis that demonic presence is there.
So we have to have exorcisms for demons who try to possess people, take them over, destroy their lives, grab their souls. Why don't we have the goodness part? I guess you would call it the angelic end. Why aren't they coming into people to make them better? I don't understand. Why is it?
I kind of think we do. If we look around, I don't think the world is so horrible. I think when we look around, the passage in the gospel this past weekend was about the Good Samaritan. And I think there are a lot of Good Samaritans out there.
I agree. I agree with that. But I mean, why do you need an exorcist to fight off a demon possessing someone? Why isn't the other side taking care of it on its own?
Well, I think the other side is, and I think that's why a priest...
Through the priest?
I think certainly, well, yeah, because the priest is in persona Christi, in the presence, in Christ. They stand in Christ's image, fighting the demonic force. So I think when you have a demonic possession and you have a true exorcism occurring, you're not doing this by yourself. You are an instrument through Christ's power and through his name. When you are doing the exorcism, you are invoking the power of Christ. The power of Christ compels you. And when you're fighting the battle, you are certainly not fighting by yourself. The angels, Christ, it is believed that they are fighting with you. And it is a true battle. And that's why we need people who are trained, who are prepared mentally, spiritually, and academically to stand in persona Christi.
Bishop, can a person be possessed and he or she is just moving along in their day-to-day life and routine? They're not strapped down to a bed or tied up, or they've got a priest coming to exorcise them. Can they be possessed and go to work and function every day, and those of us might not even know it?
No doubt. And Father Malachi even had said that as well. Absolutely. It's amazing. We have people walking amongst us who we would think are the prime citizens of the country, but yet when we look in the skeletons of the closet, we see some pretty horrific things.
Yeah.
Pretty horrific activity. I mean, just absolutely, disastrous.
Do they know there's something wrong with them?
I would hope so. I think even in Jeffrey Dahmer's case, when Jeffrey Dahmer was talking about his situation.
The serial killer to young people who might not know who he was.
Sure, okay. Sure. And when he was, obviously he's a cannibal, but even when he said that he didn't like the part of killing, and he knew that was wrong, but to him that was the only way that he could keep that person with him forever. And so for him, that was his mentality. Now, that also could be a person who has an erroneous conscience, which means a person who believes something is good, but is really evil. Like, for example, Hitler. Hitler thought that eradicating the Jewish citizens was actually a good thing for Germany. Now, we all know that's insane, but he, through an erroneous conscience, he believed that his actions was actually good. Now, with Jeffrey Dahmer's situation, him actually killing his victims, it's a little different because he knew it was evil.
Well, do you think he was definitely possessed by evil, or was he just nuts, insane?
No, that's a really tough question. I honestly don't know. I would say anybody, boy, I tell you, it's one of two things. Anybody that can cross that line and harm another human being and do what he did to others, as well as what other people are doing to other people today in our world. I mean, killing people for shoes, killing people for if you bump into them.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we live in a very hedonistic.
You cut in front of them and they chase you.
it's insane. It really is. So either A, they have an erroneous conscience, which means basically, like I said, their conscience is distorted, or B, we have some type of demonic infestation.